Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're continuing our series on the subject of joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joy in the midst of trials. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's great to know that you can have joy in the midst of trials.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
That is a real promise.
Thank you, Lord.
Not something that we're just playing with. And Jesus is not joking when he told us to rejoice and be exceeding glad and leap for joy. Glory be to God. A reminder again that Christian joy is internal. And the reason I keep reminding you of that, as I've said the other time and the time before that, is because by the time you hear this again, you've had a whole 7 days go through and you've had all kind of stuff come at you during that time. You know, I don't know what's going on in each separate one of your lives, in your heart, what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your emotions, what's going on in your body, you know, in your family. 7 days is a long time in this world for us to forget or, you know, what the Lord is saying to us. So it's a good reminder, and I'll probably begin it with this several more times, that, you know, it's a reminder. First of all, we have joy, but that joy is internal. It is not something that is brought on by the outside world. And thank God we don't have to wait for that either. That's really good news. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is something that should be greatly encouraging to us. At least I like to think so. We talked about that no matter how great our troubles that we're going through, no matter how great they are, it is possible not to lose our deep, it is possible rather to not lose our deep seated, and I stress that, deep seated. And of course, how deeply seated your confidence is in the Lord God that he's still in control depends on how well you know him. So the how well you know him is how deep your seated your confidence is that he's in control. You can't fake the funk when there's troubles on every side. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing, troubles expose frauds. It exposed fake. I was telling both our daughters, that I'm glad that the screws, if you will, are tightening in America toward Christians. I said, I'm glad of that. Because then it's gonna push out the fake ones, and the real ones are gonna rise to the top. Because the real ones are anointed and appointed to be at such a time as this. It be meaning to exist, to be saved, and to be really real for God at such a time as this. And they won't fold. We'll be beacon lights in the dark world. But all of the pretenders, they'll run. They'll run, and that's good. Because it'll be shown that they were never of us. And I know that may sound a little harsh, but it's a good thing. I mean, I'd like to think that you want the pretenders out of the way. Because all they're doing is just, they're just in the way. You know, you talk about the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, the angel couldn't even go in there and pull them out because they look so much like us. You know, that's... We really have to be on guard. We really must be discerning, as we'll talk about or if we get to it today, about being discerning, recognizing what's fraudulent and what's pseudo as to what's real and good. We must be discerning. And so I thank God that it is possible not to lose our deep-seated confidence that God is in control. I rest on that. I literally, and I thank God I literally do, not just because I'm the pastor standing up here, well, this is what I ought to say to the people, but I really don't know nothing about it. No, I thank God. I rest on that. Because if I didn't, I would be a nervous wreck. I would be just as anxious, filled with angst as everyone else. And probably turning to, you know, Xanaxes and everything else to try to calm down. But I thank God that He has placed in me and those who truly know Him a deep-seated confidence. Hey, I'm still in control. Calm down, relax, I got this. You're my child. Remember all the teachings from that Word of Life that you've heard for the past 20 years. You've heard Matthew 6, I think it is, where if I take care of the sparrows, they sow not, they don't toil or spin, they don't work for a living. And yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye of more value than a little bird? And says, yes, I got you. That's where that song comes from, His eyes on the sparrow. And I know He watches me. Do you really know that? Or is that just a song sung at a funeral that you heard 478 times? Now, how real are these things we're even hearing? You know, we sing these songs, you know, how and I'm not necessarily talking about the people right here in the building right now, but just throughout the country. Just how real are we? Are we just putting on a show? Are we getting involved in emotionalism? And if you become emotional, then you feel like, you know, something has kind of happened a little bit? Or is it really deep-seated? And that's what troubles do. They if you're just surfacey and emotionally, that's not a word, but today it is in that context, and that's all you are, trouble's going to blow you away, just like that house that was built on sand. Absolutely. It's going to blown away, flattened. So if your dad dies and his funeral is on a Wednesday and you still show up for church after going to your dad's funeral, because I want to be around the people of God and the Word of God, that shows you I love the Lord. That I know where my help comes from. Thank you, Jesus. And the good news is, technically speaking, we don't have to no longer look to the hills, because He's inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I will walk in them and be their God, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Yes, thank you. The Lord will allow one to play and fake along for so long, but all he has to do is just send one thunderstorm of trouble. Some of it just a little drizzle. Mm-hmm. That's right, Lord. Expose them from the pulpit to the back pew. Expose it. Let your people rise. Let the church rise. Yes. And take our place as lights in the darkness. Let's not be a part of the doggone darkness. Let's be separate and apart from the darkness. Amen. Amen. Got Christians running around here, supposed Christians running around here just as shook up as the world, talking like the world, sounding like the world, looking like the world. You can't distinguish a Christian from the world. That is a sin if you are truly born again, because Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the world. Don't look like the world. I say it all to say this, that if your confidence is not deep-seated, then it's going to be blown away. That's the point I'm making. No pandemic is greater than God. No racial injustice and inequality and uprisings throughout this country or the world are greater than God. Amen. God is our Father. God is our Savior. God is our President. He's our Mayor. He's our Attorney General. Period. He's our boss. He's our master. He's our owner. And we are His slave. We are His people. the sheep of his pasture. Don't forget that word of life. Don't forget that. And I hate it in a sense, because the devil just running around just as happy. He's just so happy because the people of God just all shook up, running around here like chickens with their head cut off, just don't know what they're doing, what's going on. They're like, cool. If you know, I can hear say, well, if this throws them off, man, wait till Matthew 24 starts happening. Wars and rumors of wars and real things, pandemics and everything happening, earthquakes in diverse places all start happening. This is life action. And we running around here like, where is God? He's in the same place he's always been. On the throne, seated high. He's the most high God. Period. Joy is generated by humility. Yes. Because if you're not humble enough to understand that he is still God on the throne, and although I feel like Chicken Little, how I feel has nothing to do with who I am. I am a child of God. He is my Father.
Hallelujah.
And to my black sisters, don't fall for the okey-doke. Do not fall for no mess from nobody. If you're born again, you are who God says you are, period. Period. He cannot lie. He said in his word that we are the sheep of his pasture. He said in his word, I will dwell in them, not just kind of be around them and hang out a little bit. I'm going to live in you. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. Notice the my, all the pronouns, possessive pronouns. You're the sheep of my pasture. You are my people, created for my glory. We may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Jesus said to him, he said, man, if you fear man, all you can do is kill you. We need to hear that though. I know that sounds crazy, but that's what Jesus said. The worst he can do is kill you. Bottom line. But he can't touch the soul. I got the soul.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I got you. Because I don't care what they do to that body. Your soul belongs to me, and I got you. So if I allow them to kill you, you come right on up here with me. Forever.
Amen.
This is part of getting your mind off of the things of this earth. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, depends on who you are, and you need, and you know yourself. Some of us need to just go into the bedroom and just close the door and turn everything off. Now, that's not too cool. But you got to know that what enters that ear gate, what enters your eye gate, if it's something that you weren't supposed to see or hear or shouldn't be seeing or hearing, you got to hear the Lord and do what you got to do to cut it off. Stop it. Amen? Right hand defended, cut it off. Foot, mouth, pluck it out. Eyes, pluck it out. Do what you have to do to get that deep, seated confidence that God is in control.
Amen.
And when you have it, you'll walk around here like George Jefferson, chest out and arms swinging in the back, because you know all is well between me and the Lord.
Amen.
All is well. That's why the song Sunday, it is well. It is well. You mean all that? Yes. It's in the middle of all it. Yes. It's still well. I think it's four GM. Somebody lost, I don't know, $600 million in the second or third quarter. It's still well.
Amen.
Because after all, God already knew before the foundation of the world this was going to hit. He already knew that. And we must hang on our Heavenly Father's coattails, if you will, and just follow His lead. Because He already knew this was going to happen. It's not surprising Him. He's not in a panic. Why should we be? Our faith is being tested. This is an opportunity for our faith to be tested. And it's being tested. And thank God it is. Because I'd like to think you want to know that you know that you know. I want to know that I know that I know. We want to know that we know that we know that we know that our faith is genuine, that it's real, that it's legitimate, that it will stand the steepest test, trial, tribulation, the sourest of sufferings, to stand there and say, Lord, I know you got me. Then we're able to boast in His grace of having deep-seated confidence. That unshakable faith. God knew Job had it. Devil says to God, hey, you know what? I bet you that if you take everything from him, he'll curse you to your face. And God metaphorically says two words. Want to bet? That's in the white space between verses 12 and 13. Want to bet? Verse 13. I give you permission. Take everything he has. And he takes everything. And he grieved. Remember this before. And I point to April because I remember we had just taught this when her dad had passed. And she was crying. And I said, baby, it's all right to cry. You are human. I don't know where we got that from. But let me start on that. He was in deep grief. But in the middle of his grief, he worshiped the Lord. And I want us to have that attitude. Like, if Job, who was really, Job, chronologically speaking, Job was before Abraham. He was before the patriarchal period. This is early information. He didn't have all the information we have now. God, if you can do that for Job, you certainly can do that for me. Amen. Joy is generated by humility. People lose their joy when they become self-centered, thinking they deserve better circumstances or treatment than they are getting. I could read that every single time in our opening, and I have so far. Because it's a reminder, we slip back into that. We slip back into that thinking by Thursday. If we aren't careful. So let me say it like that. We have to be on guard that we don't go back into thinking that I deserve better. You deserve death. I deserve death. We deserve death. But we've sinned probably how many times a day? We don't know. And even if we felt that we've had a perfect day as far as our knowledge is concerned, you certainly have sinned as far as beyond what you know. And so we deserve death. And so, Father God, here's a prayer. Help us to not be on the slip tip. Slip over into self-centeredness and into thinking that we deserve better circumstances of treatment than what we're getting, because what we deserve is death. But instead of your wrath, we're getting your grace, your mercy, and your compassion and your love. And for that, we are forever grateful. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. That's a warning to us. Be careful to not let ourselves slip. And I'm talking, it starts here, being in mind. Slip into self-centeredness, which will lead to thinking you deserve better. And when you're in that land, if you will, then guess what? You've just been set up to have a horrible day. instead of embracing the troubles that come that day. You're walking around angry because you think you deserve better. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. When the Lord is saying, man, I'm trying to set you up for growth, and you done shot all of it down. You mad? You upset? You're not bringing me any glory. And because all of your little comfort has gone sideways, you just thrown all your things, all the songs you just sang last night, you threw it out the door. All the preaching you heard and all the encouragement you heard, you just threw it out the door because you are thinking, I deserve better. And that's a shame that we throw it away as such frivolous, it's such a frivolous thing. You or I are not worth two dead flies apart from Christ. Yes. And that's true. I don't care if we don't like that or not. I know we're mature enough to handle it here, but that's true. Amen. Two dead flies, let alone living. You say you got scripture? Yeah, Daniel 4. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. That's not even dead flies. Dead flies are something. So I didn't just make that up. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. Lord, help us to get out of selfishness, self-centeredness, please. It's a subtle beast. Yes. Subtle. Before we know it, we're in the middle of it. We're ready to fight and cuss and all of that because we've slipped into self-centeredness. Please expose it. Holy Ghost, show us as soon as it starts to creep into our minds and our hearts and our thinking and our emotions. And when your spirit speaks to us with our whole heart, we will agree. Our answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Yes, I hear your voice. Yes, I hear it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That's a thief. That's a thief. And black Christians have that disease like worse than anybody of thinking they deserve better. Why is this happening to me? Why is this going on? I realize you've been positioned for just great growth in the kingdom of God. But if your thinking is self-centeredness rather than God-centeredness, then you're missing out on just boatloads of opportunity to just be a giant in the kingdom of God. A giant. We all, Lord, I want to be used by you. Here I am, Lord, send me. Don't say that. You need to stop saying that. Unless you are truly ready to surrender and be filled with his spirit. There's a cost in being used by God. Absolutely. Are you willing to pay that cost? Am I willing to pay that cost? Are we willing? That's why he said we have to be prepared for the master's use. Mm-hmm. We have to be equipped, mm-hmm. positioned, prepared, fit for the master to use us. Just don't go out there to the master using you. Not be fit for it. Prepare. How do you protect your joy? Humility, devotion to Christ, trust in God. They protect your joy. Stay humble. Stay submitted. Stay devoted and trust in the Lord. Devotion means commitment. Stay committed. Trust in the Lord. Put your hope in him. Put your confidence in him. Put your reliance upon him. Depend on him. You will protect your joy. You can see why. If you're devoted and committed to the Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master, and you're trusting in, believing in, depending on, putting your confidence in, hoping in the Lord God, you're going to protect the joy. Because you know what? God, you got it. You got it. And you'll lead me. And where you lead, I will follow. I don't have to go figure this thing out. Thank you, Lord. You talking about a migraine, mitral headache. Try to figure out what to do through all of this mess. In and of your own strength. But yet there are millions who don't have the Lord who are trying to figure it out. And they are, there's suicide, there's anger, the mass. People just, you're just going crazy over the mass. Lord Jesus, I need some help on that one. People dying over the mass. God went and shot up the thing because they told him to go back into his car and he didn't have a mask. He went and got a gun. And God didn't kill anybody. He went back in the store and shot the place up. Put a mask on, dude. Wow. It is scary to be without God in these times. Scary. Amen. Every Christian ought to be whipped if you walk around here just as crazy as the world and you got God on your side and he's your father with all of those promises. Come on. Really? He is our hope. He is our expectation. Remember the outstretched neck. We're waiting for the Lord to return. He's going to return just like he said he would. Yeah. We have hope. Yeah. We don't need to be all like this. Just say, okay, Lord, you said it was coming. Matthew talks about, the Bible talks about pestilences and all of this coming. It talks about civil unrest. Depending on how you interpret nation against nation, the word in the Greek is ethnos in Matthew 24. So they're going to be racial unrest between ethnicities until he comes back. It says it. Shouldn't surprise us. Trust the Lord. Trust in him. Stay devoted. Stay committed. Stay locked in. And let the Holy Spirit lead us. He gives us strength. He gives us power. We're not getting through this on our own strength or our own wisdom or knowledge. We have his wisdom, his knowledge, his word. Trust in the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever. The words are there, y'all. It ain't, this is nothing new. That's right. The bottom line is, are we going to believe it or not? Do we dare believe it? A God who has told us, I cannot lie. So if I said it, it's got to come to pass. It's got to be true. I told you I can't lie. What's the problem? What the problem is, my student? What the problem is? Joy is the Lord Jesus Christ's legacy to every believer. I love hearing that again and again. Like things that belong to Mama Crouch. Like, you know, you think about like the picture that's sitting in there, you know, those things are precious, just earthly things. A ring of hers or the color purple. She loved the color purple. Well, how much more what the Lord Jesus has left for us as his legacy is his joy, not just joy, his personal joy. Boy, that'll be enough. Just shout all over this building.
Thank you, Lord.
No pandemic. You're not going to take my joy. Racial unrest. You're not going to take my joy. Crazy everybody's. You're not going to take my joy. You're just not. I'm not. It ain't happening. We need to. Right. I'm not giving that up. We'll be giving up so freely. Unfortunately. Joy again. Yeah, word again. The deep down sense of well-being, which is comfort, security, and safety. You know, just that alone ought to just, if you're really walking in it, this is how it ought to look and feel in a sense. Joy is a deep down sense of well-being, which is comfort, security, and safety. Do you feel comfort? Do you feel secure? Do you feel safe? You don't have to answer that, but you need to ask yourself a question. When you are about to go to bed, you need to pull out your notes and go back over this definition and say, Lord, am I feeling these things right now? Do I really believe this? Or am I anxious? Am I in discomfort and I don't feel any security? And if that's the case, then Lord, I need you to help me. Mm-hmm. because I'm not there. I'm not experiencing the legacy of our Lord as I should. And it's my fault. It's not God's fault, because Jesus gave it. It's the legacy is there. It's too often we just sitting it down somewhere. Oh, they're going to enjoy sitting over there. Yeah, but why isn't it benefiting you? Deep sense of well-being that abides, which means to live in, take up residence in, dwell in, and is settled in where? The heart, the inner man, the core of your being. The heart of the person who knows, not just casually knows, but knows with deep and abiding, settled assurance and absolute confidence that all is well between himself and the Lord. All is well. All. That's why you can just rest and relax. All is well. Lord, I know I'm in your kingdom. I'm your child. The blood has been shed. You've resurrected my spirit from the dead. I'm saved. I'm born again. All is well. No more wrath. No more none of that. That's joy. And you ought to read over that. Read over it every night and turn it into a prayer. Lord, help me to feel this, walk in this, experience this. Turn it into a prayer. Pray, Lord, 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 help me to have this deep down sense of well-being that abides in my heart, because I know that all is well between myself and you. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And then go to sleep. I just thank God for a mature, because we keep doing, that's four straight month, and we spent, I don't know how long on this, but we'll spend over 32 minutes on that again. And I know why, if we really trust in the Lord, because we don't have it. Yeah. We still don't, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We just still don't have it. And that's okay. That's why thank God he's merciful. Yeah. There's no teacher standing around me saying, hey, we got to get to this point. So we just go over it and over it and over it until the bottom line is to get it. Amen. How many just want to get it? We want to get it. Amen. I want to get it. Yes. I want to hold it, would you say? And hold it. Yes. Yes. Good preaching. Get it and hold it. That's why it's deep seated. Yeah. When the roots run deep in that, ain't nothing pulling that out. Excuse my English. But ain't nothing pulling that out. Father, help us to get it deep down into our hearts. Joy is a powerful thing, but it's sad. Many, I'm going to even say majority of the Christians, especially in America, do not walk in joy. They're Christians. Truly born again. But do you think the world is saying, oh, there's joy and love there? No, no, no. How sad is that? Because that brings God no glory. That brings our Father no glory. And the Lord Jesus Christ, symbolically speaking, is his head is bowed in shame and disappointment. Because he's saying, look at my people. Yeah, making no use of my legacy that I've given them. How sad is that? I really think I don't hear much teaching on joy ever, to be honest with you. I've heard a lot of teachers, and I'm not knocking whatever on that, but you if you don't know, you can't know. I know that sounds silly almost, but it's true. You can't know what you don't know. I know that sounds, but if you think about it, that's true. If you don't know it, then you can't know it. So if you don't hear about joy, faith coming by hearing, how are you going to dwell on it and just sit there and let it become settled, you know, and abiding in your heart if you don't really hear about it, to even know about that? Walking in joy, even in the midst of storms, means there must be a major shift in our minds. Amen. The mental processes have got to be shifted from where we are. Because we've been trained to how to think in trouble, but it's not the biblical approach. We've been trained to either panic or get mad or get nervous or get anxious or try to handle it yourself or fight back or whatever the problem is. It's all about us getting in there and doing something about it ourselves. We're kind of trained. That's the default response. But thank God that through this teaching, he's causing that very slowly, that default response, to slowly come over to the word of God. Okay, God got this. Okay, now, so then let me, Lord, what do I do in the middle of this then? You know better than me. Let me not, let's say the situation that you were mistreated. Let me not slip into thinking, I didn't deserve that. That wasn't fair. Help me to just understand, like, okay, Sunday's teaching is embrace this hardship. So Lord, walk me through all it. He loves those kind of prayers. Instead of saying, Lord, kill that person. It didn't hurt me. I don't deserve this. Forget them. That's default. Protect yourself. Self-centeredness. Our glory has been, we've been damaged. And not realizing that you do more damage, symbolic speaking, to the Lord because you know better than they don't. And you react tit for tat with them. Well, then you're like, man. And the Lord is up there saying, oh, got it. That was an opportunity for you to really showcase my glory. And you got mad and showcased your stupidity rather than my glory because you felt you deserved better. Well, don't I deserve better than what you're giving me right now? Cussing, fussing, kicking, slapping, lying, cheating. He deserves better. And we must give him better. I'm talking about me included. We must do better. And I love how the Lord said to Sister Landon about something about, you know, God convicting us before the world does. When he speaks to us and he convicts us, receive that correction and instruction. He's merciful when he does that and the world doesn't see it. He's merciful when he does that. Doesn't have to do it. He can just let it go. You can get exposed out there. He is some kind of merciful.
Yes, he is.
He is some kind of merciful. Well, for the fourth straight week, we haven't gone any further as far as advancing in the, hopefully we've gone further in understanding how to get a hold of it and keep it. Not just to be joyous for 5 minutes or walk in that joy because it's sunny. You know, put it to the test. You know, there are enough storms in your life. Put it to the test. See if that joy stays there when it's storming outside and the quote unquote power's out because of the storms. That's when you see the peace of God really shine, the joy of the Lord really become your strength, your tower, your refuge. You can run into and be safe and secure. Father God, we just say thank you. We just thank you. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Just for teaching us and teaching us and teaching us and teaching us and teaching us. Because you know we don't have it. And we submit to that.
Yes, Lord.
And we just beg you to help us to get it and walk in it and keep it. Get it, walk in it, and keep it forever. We need your help in this. Please help us to count ourselves as nothing so that we can just really surrender all to you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.